Good morning, everyone. My name is Kalia Owens, and I am here to bring you guys Through the Nursing Lens, an interactive podcast where we'll discuss nursing news, highlight nursing topics and careers, as well as build our nurse tribe. On today's show, we'll have Angelica Whaley, CEO of Angelica's Medical Staffing Agency, aka AMSA. Angelica is a Detroit native who came from humble beginnings. Not letting her circumstances stop her, she knew that she had to become innovative and turn her dreams into reality. Fast forward to 2020, she is currently a resident of Dallas, Texas, and the owner of multiple successful businesses. Angelica prides herself on mastering the art of survival and lives by her favorite quote, "Thank God I don't look like what I've been through." Angelica is passionate about her nurses and CNAs and is here to share her story and how you can get started with travel nursing and working with the company of your dreams. Everyone, let's welcome Angelica Whaley.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Angelica. Thanks for doing the show with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Angelica. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I've been here in Dallas now for 6 going on 7 years, so I feel like I'm a Texan, and I just love it. I was in Atlanta a couple years before then, and I joke with people all the time. I say Detroit raised me, Atlanta, you know, made me. And then Dallas basically paid me because I didn't get it together until I got here to Dallas. So I love Dallas so much, world of opportunity, and yeah, I'm a business owner.
Okay, so you are this multi-hyphenate woman. You have a staffing agency called, what's the name of your staffing agency?
So it's pretty long, it's lengthy. It's Angelica's Medical Staffing Agency, LLC. But we go and operate as AMSA LLC for short.
Okay. I like AMSA. It's like short and cute. I think that's what I know it by. Is AMSA. Okay. AMSA. So you have AMSA. So you mentioned in Atlanta, you was kind of getting yourself together, but now Dallas pays you. So did you tell us about this idea to start a staffing agency, how a woman like you just, you know, thought of the idea and now you are like full throttle, super successful at it.
Wow, Kalia. So I like totally fell into staffing. So when I say fell into it, I mean like stumbled, tripped, fell, hurt my knee, like literally landed in staffing. It was not, it just wasn't the plan. So originally being from Detroit, Michigan, as I mentioned earlier, I was living in Atlanta for about 5 years. As you know, the whole entire country experienced a recession. Mm-hmm. So when we experienced the recession, nobody felt the recession like Detroit. We were the Motor City. Everybody felt it. And at the time, of course, I was living in Atlanta, but I still had my contacts in Detroit. I still had people making excellent power moves in Detroit. And people were literally purchasing homes that used to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, essentially for pennies. Mm. And they were turned them into in-home health agencies, like care. Like
so we had that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was just like this boom of, because we had so many CNAs.
Yeah.
It was a boom of home health agencies. And I remember before I moved to Dallas, I wanted to start a home health agency. Mm-hmm. Like that was my be a millionaire by 25.
Wow.
I had looked up like, okay, how do you franchise a home health agency?
Oh, wow.
And I remember I looked it up and I had to be like 23.
Oh.
And I had just got my MBA and I was like, bet, I need to have a business under my belt in order for me to get these vans. And I looked it up. I needed $250,000 to franchise a home health agency. Mm-hmm. And I had my notebook and I was trying to come up with it.
Wow. And you know, I like literally like applaud you for just having that mentality and that mindset that early on. So we're basically talking about the same age range, you and I. We're both 23 at this time. I'm moving to Dallas, Texas. It's 2013. But me personally, I'm on a get rich quick scheme. I'm like, how can I get to where I don't need anyone to take care of me? I want to pay my own bills. I wasn't even familiar with the term entrepreneur yet, okay. Right?
So it wasn't this hot. So let's be clear. Before entrepreneur became like a hot word,
yeah.
I knew my dad was an entrepreneur, but I just saw him as a business.
Oh my God. I don't think I had ever heard the word, Kalia. Like entrepreneur just like, I mean, I knew business owner, duh, like, oh, they own a business. Mm-hmm. But entrepreneur, just like you said, just wasn't a hot word. So anyway, I was on a get rich quick scheme and I was like, oh, I have a couple of coins I have saved up. I'm gonna do the same thing, but I'm not moving back to Detroit.
Okay.
Okay. So it was like, where am I gonna end up? Kind of spun the globe type sporadic behavior. It landed on Texas, blah, blah, blah. All right, I'm going to Texas. Dallas was the place and the location I chose. So I literally told myself, so naive, 23-year-old Angelica Whaley, I was like, you know, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to do the same thing they're doing in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I had copycat syndrome. The same thing they're doing in Detroit, I'm about to do that in Dallas. I didn't know anything about a franchise or anything. What I did know is that I was blessed to be around someone. His name was Roy Burton, and he was amazing at what he did. He was a small business advisory. So I was blessed to get around him once I told the right people that I wanted to start a business. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, you have to start a marketing and a strategic business plan. You have to create this. Mm-hmm. So with the help of him, he and I sat down, we did this plan and everything else. And I contributed highly to it. And he was like, you know, you're going to be really good at this. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be a good business owner.
Because you were ready to learn.
I was ready to learn. And I was actually contributing to it. Like, my actual ideals were kind of sealing the deal on this whole home health agency. All right, fast forward. I get down here to Dallas, Texas. Oh, my God, the joke is on me. I had about $10,100 saved up, okay? You can't buy a parking space here. Okay. And I didn't even say parking space. You can't buy a parking space here in Dallas, Texas with $10,000. It's not happening. So in the midst of creating that business and strategic marketing plan, I had in there that I would use a staffing agency to get the CNAs and to get the actual RNs. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just become the staffing agency.
Right.
This is a company that has no overhead mm-hmm. costs. You know, this is something that's going to work out for me. And this is going to be easier to start up. Let me get to it. So I went to Google University. I went to YouTube University. And I sat in that living room. I'll never forget it. I sat in the middle of my high rise and I figured it out.
Nice. So one of the things that I have always admired about you is that so many people think that they have to go to college in order to start a business or be successful. Tell us a little bit about your story and some of your viewpoints on college and how not going to college, how that resulted better for you mm-hmm. when most people out here are getting in debt almost. Ooh, mine is up to like 100,000+ mm-hmm. in college debt just to start a business, and you did it all without it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that always interests me. I don't want to say saddens me, like that. I won't go that far, but I do have that pulls on my heartstrings a bit to see that my peers went a particular route.
Mm-hmm.
They went the traditional route, the American route. What we knew to do. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I thought I was doing the wrong route.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, I'm not going to college. I'm doing this wrong. I'm making life a lot harder on me. Of course, I had my parents who were in my ear, you know, saying the same tune. My loved ones extremely worried about me because we come from a state of mind that if you do not go to college, you're basically messed up. Mm-hmm. You're done. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to be anything in life. So it does pull at my heartstrings that I had friends that went to top colleges and or expensive colleges, and they came home and couldn't get a job in their field.
Mm-hmm.
That hurt me. Like, that kind of broke my heart for them. Not to say that everything was easy peasy. Oh, I skipped past college debt and I don't have college debt, so I have all this extra money to have fun. No, I do understand and know that life would have been simpler in particular areas of my life. Mm-hmm. But I will assure you, business is not one of them. Mm. So basically, recently, this is so funny, this is coming up. Recently, I spoke with a young man. He was my mover. Mm-hmm. He was the person that was moving us from an apartment into the home. And, you know, obviously, if you're a mover, you're a hard worker. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. Anything, I don't care what background. Labor. Yes, manual labor. Yeah. So, you know, he's sweating bullets. It's Texas. It's hot outside. And he's getting the job done for us. He's, you know, doing a service that we needed him to do. Mm-hmm. And amongst just me making conversation with him, he was telling me his father had a carpentry business and they did this and they did that, landscaping. Mm-hmm. And he said the words to me that bothered me the most. He said, yeah, I'm thinking about going to college. Mm-hmm. This is a grown man. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he had to be about my age plus. I'm thinking about going to college. I know I need to go to college though in order to get this business, blah, blah, blah. I said, your college is right there with your father. Mm. Your father is X amount of years older than you. He has the experience. He has businesses that he's had since 19, whatever. Mm-hmm. That is your college. Mm. And I feel like in business for me, college did not play a part because I have had the experience and, the ups and downs of business and everything else. That'll school you real quick. It'll get you together very quick. And any mistake that you made, if you're in the right mindset in business, and if you're really serious about being a business owner, any mistake that you step into, any puddle that you step into, you stepping over it the next time around. And I think that no college could have done that for me.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I will say if I hadn't have become a nurse, I definitely would have done something business. And just to kind of piggyback off that, when I got my nursing license, so I graduated as a nurse. 2 weeks later, I went back to school. Mm. And I went back to school to get a master's in business administration. Mm. And so many people were like upset. They were like, how are you going to go from nursing to business?
Yeah.
But I knew nurses, none of my nursing program had anything about being a nurse entrepreneur, mm-hmm. was about being a businesswoman. I knew I loved business. I grew up with a father who did business. He owned several businesses. So wanting to be a businesswoman and wanting to be a nurse was something that I always wanted to do, but it was unheard of at the time.
Yeah. And then now look at it. The industry has actually turned into a bunch of RNs who need to be about their business. Mm-hmm. So that's just,
yeah,
that makes sense. You crossed T's and dotted I's before you knew you had to.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting. So tell us a little bit about starting the staffing agency. Like, what kind of obstacles did you overcome? And I mean, not just the fact that you had to learn business, you had to learn the nursing game right? Oh, so yeah. You had to learn two industries really quickly at the same time.
Yeah. So with business, the main thing in general, especially working for yourself, here I am, a 23-year-old kid. I've had jobs in my past, but nothing like your traditional job. Like, I never had a 9-to-5 per se. Like, I worked at Nordstrom in my past, retail, you know, things like that. I actually went and worked for this ladies' realty firm one time, and things like that are kind of like non-traditional though, if that makes sense. So I'm not like kind of reporting every single day and being in one place. So what I did learn over those years though, having that type of flexibility, if you are an inconsistent person, mm-hmm. or if you are not as disciplined as you need to be, those types of jobs aid that. Mm. So when it came time to start the business, it was like, hey, my main struggles were disciplining myself to sit there and say, hey, you want to feed yourself. You're going to need X amount of dollars to feed yourself, you know, mm-hmm. rent, board. I was living in a new city, just really like taking care of myself. It was like, hey, this is the work and this is the work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So overcoming, you know, being inconsistent and not being disciplined was my main task and struggle in
becoming
an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it came to nursing though,
Okay.
So here's the thing.
anything.
Nurses are tough.
Well, I didn't know anything about them. So I didn't know anything about, how long you guys had to go to school, mm-hmm. who you work hand in hand with the doctor. Obviously, I've been to a hospital before. Obviously, I've been to the doctor's office before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand the actual key role that you all play in the healthcare industry. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I had no appreciation for it. Mm,
that's real.
Yeah. So it's like you look at it like, oh, this is my doctor. I deal with my doctor, and oh, that's his nurse. Mm-hmm. It was never an appreciation there. Mm-hmm. So once again, here we are starting a business that you don't even have a quote unquote passion behind, mm-hmm. right? So you'll listen to different entrepreneurs, successful millionaires and billionaires, speak to you until they're blue in their face about the key thing being have a passion behind what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. Have this passion. That's key. For me, it was like, I want some money. I need some money. And I'm going to start a business. And I don't want to work for anybody. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I had no passion there. Mm-hmm. So when you come hand in hand and you start working with your product, which I'm not selling clothes, I'm not selling hair. I'm actually selling my business to clients and candidates. Candidates being the nurse. The nurse is my product. Mm-hmm. Period. Mm-hmm. I had to learn quick, fast, and in a hurry. Why you guys were so important.
Right.
And once I did though, mm-hmm. let me tell you, game changer.
Nice.
Game changer. Immediately with starting the company. Back in 2013, I wasn't even in the ball game of dealing with RNs directly. Mm-hmm. I was dealing strictly hands-on with CNAs mm-hmm. and LBNs and LPNs. Mm-hmm. So here I am. I'm dealing with these people. I have people skills. Mm-hmm. If I have nothing else, I have people skills. And I'm interviewing nurses back to back to back to back. I would put out ads mm-hmm. and I would get those CNAs to come in. And they would submit their resume, and boom, we would get these interviews back to back. So I'm seeing these people in 30-minute increments, okay? I might have interviewed 50 to 55 to 60 CNAs a day, you know? So every single time I'm seeing them and meeting with them, I'm learning one or two things. This CNA has been a CNA for 10 years plus, mm-hmm. some people, and B, this CNA thinks and feels mm-hmm. like they deserve a higher pay rate, but they're not going back to nursing school to become an RN. Mm-hmm. And or they're not getting represented, in my opinion, out in the field of healthcare mm-hmm. properly, mm-hmm. right? Because you have this pyramid. And the healthcare pyramid goes, the nursing pyramid goes a certain way. You have the CNAs, then you have your LVN, LPNs, mm-hmm. then you have your RNs, and then you have your MPs.
Yeah, and I mean, even within RNs, it gets complicated, right? Yeah. Because you got 2-year RNs, you got 4-year RNs.
Exactly.
And so having to sift through that, and most importantly, having to sift through the culture. Mm-hmm. So what you are picking up on is how CNAs feel versus how LPNs feel right. versus how 2-year RNs feel.
Right.
Maybe hospitals only want 4-year RNs. Mm-hmm. So now you got to tell this 2-year nurse who probably has a lot of experience and potential that, hey, I can't put you on this assignment because they want someone with a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's tough. Very ironically, you mentioned that you put out ads and you were meeting with these nurses. Do you remember how we met?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course I remember how we met. That's so funny. Our story is very unique. I mean, I was actually in the process of a new startup. Mm-hmm. So it was literally like I had mastered the whole staffing agency industry side of things. And I was like, hey, I have this money flow, this really good cash flow. I need to start another business. Mm-hmm. But once again, mm-hmm. that's how that business was catapulted due to the fact that I was learning about CNAs and them being in a position that they were in. And me really yearning and wanting for them to go higher. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, you do work hard. Mm-hmm. Hey, you do things in this industry
that matter.
That matter and that, you know, someone necessarily might not want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they were doing some tough work, you know, dealing with the elderly community and assisted living and things of that sort. That's a lot. And I was like, you know, they deserve better. So I had the idea to start that nurse aide training school. It was like, hey, I want to get in here and I want to be passionate about this. And I want to motivate people that when they come through that 4-week course, that's how long the course is to become a CNA. When they come through that 4-week course, I want them to know that this is not the final and last step. I want you out there. And you were just a key piece in that. It was like literally like put out an ad. And God was like, I hope that Kalia sees this and submits her resume. And then from there, we just like literally.
And so what I love about that story is while you were, just think about two worlds colliding. Like while you were in this world where your staffing agency had took off, you found a need for CNAs to not only be better developed, right? Because more people wanted to be CNAs. Being a CNA means a lot to people who are trying to really get started either with a nursing career or with their first career. And then my world at the time was I had just moved to Dallas and I was ready to use my MBA. And so this is really just speaking to the spirit of the entrepreneur. I was like, okay, I've been a nurse for, I think at the time it was like 5 or 6 years. And I was like, I'm ready to open a business. Like I know nursing like the back of my hand. I had dabbled in being an educator. I loved being an educator. I had taught at Chamberlain. I was like one of the youngest just new nurses to be able to teach at Chamberlain. And I wasn't in a city that I was familiar with. So I was like, okay, I'm getting burnt out with nursing. Maybe I can go back to teaching. So I look online and I look for positions to be an instructor, whether it was a nursing instructor or a CNA instructor, it didn't matter. I just wanted to like, just really teach people that you can become a nurse, you can do more with nursing. Like, how can I just inspire you? And I come across this ad for Angelica's Medical Training Institute. And she needed a part-time instructor to teach CNAs and she wanted someone I was highly motivated. And I was like, I could do this. I could do this. And I put in my resume and she gives me a call and we go meet for our interview. And I feel like from there, it just took off.
Yeah.
It was just literally. Like two business minds. I mean, I had had an idea, which was ironically some sort of Black Girl Blue Scrubs. It wasn't the same, but it was definitely like, I want to inspire people to do more with their lives and be motivated. And she was like, I want them
to. The vision was definitely there.
Very similar. She was like, I want people to go to school, be CNAs, go beyond CNAs. And from there, we just kind of had like a lot of really good energy. And it was scary because there aren't a lot of nursing entrepreneurs out there, but there aren't a lot of agencies after doing travel nursing for so long. I did travel nursing for 4 or 5 years, which was how I ended up in Dallas as a travel nurse, to find someone who had an agency who has so much compassion for people going further and just wanting to advocate for people. I was like, okay, I need to get aligned with this.
And literally learning, you know, like I said, I feel so blessed to have started on the scale that I started on with dealing with CNAs and LPNs and LVNs. Their contracts were a little bit lower and my company was getting paid a little less, but it truly gave me the opportunity to learn that heartbeat of nursing and, you know, to get a good feel for it. I learned so much in those years. And like you said, I developed that compassion. Like that literally came, like, I was like, I want to negotiate top dollar for these CNAs. I don't care if you're a CNA. You've been a CNA 15 years. You deserve some type of, you know, difference in pay rate than the average CNA who just started last week, you know? And I wanted to fight for them on that scale. And that compassion was truly birthed from there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who may be interested in travel nursing, tell us a little bit about how your company can help. So we've heard the backstory. We heard how you got established, what brought you to Dallas. So now you're here, you know, you have a firm foundation, you have this passion now for helping people. So tell us, like, just what is travel nursing? What is an ideal candidate? And how can you and your company help?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So travel nursing, honey, let's just start there. This is the new hot thing. You know, it impresses me every single time that when I met you, you were on an assignment. So you were hip, okay?
people didn't know about travel nursing like they know about travel nursing now. Mm-hmm. And we can thank our excellent, you know, amazing good friends over at IG for that.
Right.
Because we have Instagram.
Right.
And no matter what, Instagram is designed to make someone else want your life. Like, right. That is what this is.
I mean, it promotes connectivity. Yeah. And so, funny story is, prior to getting into travel nursing, I was working at Cleveland Clinic, and I would hashtag travel nurses.
Yes.
Right? And then I would reach out to each person that popped up, like, yep, a crazy lady. And mind you, we're still friends on IG, because that's what IG do, create lifelong friends that you ain't never met.
Yeah.
But I'm still friends with them. One girl, she even hit me up like, hey, I'm thinking about moving to Dallas. Like, I remember you reached out to me a few years back. But Instagram is what got me my information for travel nursing.
Yeah.
I would hashtag travel nurse. I would DM every person that popped up like, hi, my name is Kalia Owens. I am interested in being a travel nurse. Like, can you tell me what you like about it? Can you tell me what you don't like about it? What would you tell a new traveler? And I got so much information that by the time I first talked to my recruiter, I was like, oh, bet. I know what to ask. Wow. I know what to do. Like, they had gave me, wow, the game. And it was like, let us know how your travel assignment go. Funny story, I had a lady who was like, hey, I'm going to help you. I'm going to send you to my recruiter. She sent me to her recruiter. Her recruiter lowballed me. Mm. And you can talk a little bit more about, like, the pay rate and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But her recruiter had lowballed me. He gave me, like, this really horrible rate. And I was so upset. And this woman does not know me from a can of paint. We are IG friends. She was like, oh, no, I'm going to call him right now, and he's going to give you X amount of dollars. And that man called me back, and he was like, hi, Ms. Owens, I'm really sorry. Let's see how we can, wow, renegotiate your package. This girl lived in North Carolina, and I was in Ohio, and, wow, she was like, no, we are nurses, we are travelers, we are going to stick together.
Yeah.
So how do you support nurses as a recruiter?
Yeah, yeah. So,
or as the owner, not a recruiter.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But you do, well, it all.
I do it all. I work as a recruiter as well within the company, and we make sure that we have recruiters who are on, like, the same wavelength as me. But travel nursing within itself, it gets put into, like, a box. So a lot of people are like, yeah, travel nursing is for single people. That is a false statement. Travel nursing is for single people, obviously, but it's for everyone. It's for empty nesters. It really boils down to being for the adventurous type of person in general, right? Because in order to get on that plane or however you travel over there, to get somewhere on an assignment, you gotta be adventurous. You gotta be willing to take the risk and willing to be away from your home.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how, pretty much how that works.
So what, tell us, because you mentioned a little bit about some characteristics of a travel nurse. Like, mm-hmm, what do you think an ideal candidate is? So if I'm listening to this and I'm like, would I be good enough to travel? Am I good enough?
Right. So as far as experience goes, I like to, you know, tap onto this, because people all of a sudden come to me and they submit their resume and they're like, but I only have 3 years of nursing. And I'm like, listen, if you have that standard, is it 2 years? That's 2 years for you guys. If you have that standard 2 years in there, you are qualified to go. And I think that the number one rule for someone who wants to do actual travel nursing is that you need to not be scared.
Confidence.
You have to have confidence, right? So if you're scared to get started in travel nursing, let me tell you now, this is probably not for you.
Okay. Wait. I'm going to counter it just a little bit.
Okay.
You can have a few jitters, just, yeah, a few, but I will say it does sound a little harsh, but you gotta be ready.
You have to be ready.
You do. So if you're like super scary and I don't know, it's gonna be tough. So you can still do it, but that first assignment is going to, you either gonna have to boss up or you gonna, every little thing is gonna break you.
Yeah, absolutely. You're because gonna get there, the weather,
yeah,
the hotel room.
Yes.
Everything.
So you have to, that confidence has to not just be like,
okay, you're starting something new. Yes, it's going to be scary, but there's an entire process that happens prior to you getting an assignment.
Absolutely.
And that process is not smooth at all. Like, it's not. And I mean, having a great agency helps make that process smooth, mm-hmm. but you got to be okay with your date, your start date changing. You got to be okay with your flight changing. You got to be okay with your unit changing. And so if you are not in a mindset where you're confident enough, where whatever happens, you can make the best of it, that is the key to being successful as a travel nurse.
We kind of call it being like a palm tree, right? Mm. So if you ever pay attention to the palm trees out in Miami or LA, those sunnier places than Dallas, actually, we have some palm trees down in Harwood District. We do. They're planted. But if you ever pay attention to a palm tree, it sways with the wind. Mm-hmm. When the wind blows, the palm tree blows. So you have to be like a palm tree in the world of travel nursing. Things are going to change. Sometimes things are going to change that are out of control of the recruiter, out of the control of the agency. And while we are working, you know, on your behalf, and I can speak for my agency, you know, while we're working on your behalf fully and wholly and overtime 24/7, that necessarily doesn't change those obstacles that come into play that you just spoke to,
right?
When it comes to travel nursing. So I always remember being a flight attendant. I was a flight attendant for X amount of years, and that was one of the things. You deal with delays, mm-hmm. you deal with cancellations, you deal with weather, you deal with, you know, you name it. It's almost the same thing with being a travel nurse. Even with the mindset of being able to be away and go on that first trip as a flight attendant and stay in that hotel room by yourself and wake up and still go and perform and do your job the way you need to, even though you're away from home and you don't have like your bathroom setting to get ready and do your makeup that morning. You mm-hmm. may have bad lighting in that hotel bathroom, mm-hmm. but you still get the job done. So my advice to people that want to get into travel nursing is be flexible, be ready for anything that life throws your way. Now, I'm not telling you to put up with no mess. Mm-hmm. The one thing that you did not change, or you did not say or mention changing when you just spoke to that, was pay rate, mm-hmm. Respect, mm-hmm. Communication. Mm-hmm. Those are no-nos.
And you know, and that's why you yeah. need a, and I cannot emphasize this enough, that's why you need a really good company.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of people go through more than one company, and I don't know how you guys feel about it on y'all end. Mm-hmm. I would be talking to like five companies at once. Mm-hmm. And I would be, you know, she mentioned earlier that nurses, and I hate to say it like that, but in travel nursing, you are a product, mm-hmm. and you have to sell yourself, right? And your recruiter and your agency is working on behalf of you, but you also have to be able to pitch yourself. So the better you can make your resume, the more experience you have, just things that make you more marketable versus, you know, think about travel nursing being hot right now. So you could want to go out to Miami in the wintertime. Guess what? It's going to be 100 other nurses applying yeah. to go to that Miami hospital. Ooh, that in the wintertime. California. It's supply and demand. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it like that, where do people want to go in the winter? All the warm places. So you got to be able to pitch yourself and say, why should I pick you over someone else?
Yeah.
So absolutely. With that being said, how many years of experience should a travel nurse have?
Oh, I think the standard two.
Okay.
I'm perfectly fine with the standard two, such as, you know, the same thing you guys would need for bedside mm-hmm. or things like that to get put on an actual permanent assignment here with a larger hospital right. and that sort. We just want you to have that type of experience, because we do get weekly assignments. Mm-hmm. So when you get those weekly assignments, yeah, like you said, your actual location of the hospital you're going to be in could change. Mm-hmm. You know, one minute it may say that you're going over to ICU and they might call me back and say, hey, that position has been filled, but we need two more people to go to ER. Mm-hmm. Am I going to say, hey, I'm not using that nurse that I was sending originally to ICU, or can that nurse handle it to go over to ER, and do they have that experience? Mm-hmm. That's what we look for. But yeah, the standard experience, the same thing you would need to work at a larger hospital. Mm-hmm. It's all you need to work with us.
So what about assignment? So how long will someone be gone? What's the standard assignment? You know, what can they expect time-wise?
Yeah, so truly they range. You know, you have the 13-week assignment, which is pretty much our standard. You have weekend assignments. You have different assignments for different clients and different need bases. Once again, they come in once a week, once a month, like different assignments come in. But our most important assignments are the rescue assignments and the strikes.
Man.
Yeah.
Strikes are, in case anybody wants to know, if you can get a strike assignment,
oh, yeah,
you got your kids' college fund.
Let me tell you.
Your retirement fund. Strikes are, and they're unfortunate too. Like if you think about it, you know, I don't want to celebrate the demise, because what's really happening during a strike, if you go out and work a strike, is those nurses at a particular hospital, let's say Minnesota, because they go on a lot of strikes. Those nurses at a particular hospital have not been treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a union that says, hey, maybe they're not getting good staffing ratios. Maybe they're not getting good pay or time off or things like that. And so they go on strike. Yeah. And when they go on strike, altogether, they refuse to show up to work.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's no one to take care of the patients. And you have a lot of upset and frustrated nurses. And what they do is they contact agencies and they say, okay, Minnesota is on strike. We don't know how long this hospital will be on strike for, but we need 150 nurses to go out there. The strike could be 4 days. The strike could be 4 months. It's just, we need warm bodies to take care of these patients. And so the pay is a lot higher, but just the circumstances around it is different.
Yeah, it really, for me, honestly, being the actual owner of the staffing agency, it puts you in such a moral sticky situation. Because here you are, you're like literally looking at it, and you want to be, as a nurse advocate, you know, you look at your company as coming so far and trying to be like a nurse's best friend. Like, we work for the nurse. Like, the nurse is most important to us. We understand them. You want to have empathy toward that reason of strike.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you have to fill that position.
Because
mm-hmm. if I don't fill that position, another staffing agency is going to fill that position. And, you know, when they're putting people on strike, they obviously have a reason to put, you know, for these nurses to go onto strike. They're not meeting these nurses' needs. So they darn sure are not getting out and asking for people to submit their resume
mm-hmm.
and looking for nurses. You know, the first thing they do is pick up the phone and call us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because you can deliver quicker.
Yeah. It's a sticky situation for us. But yeah, like you said, strikes are some of the highest, you know, highest paid situations. And then the rescue assignments, like
Houston, right? That's the one I can remember.
God, the first one I experienced head on. I've only been in business since 2013. So 2017 was like the first rescue assignment where it was like, no, this is real life. Like those people, those nurses that wake up and do those 12-hour shifts, their houses are underwater themselves. They cannot come to work.
Mm.
So even though the lights are on at the hospital, that doesn't mean the nurses can show up and properly do their job.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was pretty intense. We got on top of that. We sent nurses over to Hurricane Harvey, and mm-hmm. that was my first rescue assignment, and it was madness.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, the bravery behind those nurses, and once again, I was still working as a flight attendant as well. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Talk about hustle.
Yeah, we literally flew into Houston to do an assignment. We woke up the next morning in our hotel room and they canceled all the flights naturally, mm-hmm. right? So here I am stuck in Houston and I'm frustrated behind being stuck in Houston, but I have nurses over at a hospital that they're like, hey, it's getting worse over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now doctors aren't showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a shortage on doctors, and it was just very intense times, but I commend all of my nurses that worked that assignment for me, and they went down there and they made, you know, a terrible situation a little softer for
for the people of Houston. So that was a beautiful thing. To be a part of that was amazing.
Nice.
Yes, like career high.
So what about people who may not be ready to leave their home, you know, their home base or home hospital that they have, but they want to take an assignment with a staffing agency? How does that work?
I just think that boils down to how long, them being realistic about how long they can be gone. So like I said, those contracts range from 13 weeks. That's kind of our standard. If we can get you on a 13-week assignment, we're doing well. Some weekend assignments, things of that sort. I think that the nurse really has to know what exactly they are available for. Mm-hmm. And once you come to us, and we have a whole process as far as credentialing and getting your actual criteria, like what you want out of a travel assignment, and we fit that best to our candidate. Mm-hmm. So if you say, hey, I only want to be gone, you know, a couple weeks, a few weeks, I don't want to be gone too long from home, I'm not putting you on a 20-week assignment. I'm not even putting you on a 13-week assignment, because that's a long time to be gone away from home that you only want to be gone a few weeks from. Mm-hmm. So it's just really about getting with the agency and being 100% transparent on what you want.
Okay. So can I stay on a agency's like database, even if I'm not ready? Can I sign up? Can I get started? Yeah. Can I contact
you? We love those types of nurses, because what happens is we don't blow your phone up or anything like that, but any and every time that, you know, an assignment comes across my desk or across our desk, and it looks as if it fits your criteria, meets what you need, we're sending you an email, a text message, or giving you a phone call, because you never know where people are in life. Like mm-hmm. a person might have said, hey, I don't want to travel the whole winter. The minute summer breaks and I get an assignment, I'm calling you. Do you want to travel in the summer? You know, mm-hmm. we're just really flexible about that. And that's one of the things that I've prided myself on throughout this whole journey, is meeting the flexibility of the nurse, mm-hmm. like giving them options, as opposed to when they go and sign on a bedside position mm-hmm. with an actual larger healthcare facility. And it's like, no, these are your days you work. This is what you have to work. These are the shifts you have to work. Some people want to spruce it up and change it up. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to do that with kind of like PRN work with a staffing agency per diem? What's per diem? Will I still get the pay? Like, tell me a little bit about per diem work.
Yeah. So, per diem and PRN work are one and the same, and you're basically here and local.
Okay.
You're not going too far. So that wouldn't even be considered a travel assignment, even though Texas is pretty big mm-hmm. and everything's bigger in Texas, and you might live in Uptown and now you're traveling out to Fort Worth. That's still not considered a travel assignment mm-hmm. on our end. Once again, meeting that flexibility. Okay. So yeah, if a person wants to work in PRN work, I have several nurses that are inside of my database who have regular jobs mm-hmm. and they have their actual bedside job that they are dedicated, and they work at that particular healthcare facility. Mm-hmm. And then I have openings over in Fort Worth, like I said. So mm-hmm. it's like a 45-minute commute for them, but they're willing to go over there and work those 2-3 days of PRN work and get mm-hmm. that extra pay. So it pays off for them.
Do you have to be, so you mentioned like living in Uptown and then working in Fort Worth, is it considered travel? Do you have to be a certain amount of miles away for it to be considered travel, or what's the general, and this is a hot topic in travel nursing. Some people mm-hmm. say 60 miles, some mm-hmm. people say an hour away. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of it has to do with tax reasons,
yeah.
which we'll get into pay after yeah. this. But, you know, why can't I work in Uptown and, you know, drive to Fort Worth? Why wouldn't that be considered travel?
So it's not considered travel because it's still considered quote unquote local work.
Okay.
Right. So we, over at my company, we consider travel when you're out of the state of Texas.
Oh.
And oh my God, I have to correct myself.
So I can't even go to like Houston?
I was just about to say, I have to correct myself because Texas is just so big. So darn big. Yes. And I'm going to say it like that. Everything is so big in Texas. Bigger. So if you're still in the quote unquote Dallas range of things, that is considered local.
Okay.
When you start getting into the Beaumont, Texas, and the San Antonio, Texas, and the Houston, Texas, those are now considered travel assignments. If I have to get you in a hotel,
okay,
which we'll talk about that when we get to pay, I guess. If I have to get you a hotel, it's considered a travel assignment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what everyone wants to hear about, because I heard, and look, I'm being petty. I'm being petty like I wasn't a travel nurse. I heard that nurses get paid a nice little bag. Mm-hmm. And I heard that that nice little bag is worth anything inconveniencing that you had to be flexible about. So tell us from, well, I'll start it out with supply and demand.
Okay.
So for people who want to know why travel nurses get paid so much, one of the reasons, and I'll let Angelica discuss the agency reasons, but one of the reasons is simple economics, right? Supply and demand. You have hospitals that have a high demand for nurses, but a low supply. Because of that, that rate, right, that premium that they're going to pay to get someone in an area that's in high demand but not a lot of resources is going to get paid more. So just from a regular economic standpoint, if I'm running a hospital and I need to keep my unit open and I don't have any local nurses applying, I'm going to pay top dollar to get these beds filled, because from a numbers standpoint, and I have to do numbers because of just my background in nursing and in business and how I understand things, from a numbers standpoint, to care for a patient is anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 a day. Mm-hmm. I can pay a nurse an extra $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a week to care for that patient, just so that I don't lose out on that $10,000 to $15,000 a day. So just think about it like that. Like, the hospitals have the money to pay these nurses.
Yeah, they definitely have the budget. Kalia, you are 100% correct with that. And the fun tip that I will add in here, and this is giving away a little bit of secret sauce.
I know, I gave some numbers away too, so.
No, it's okay. It's not even from a numbers standpoint, but just from a tip standpoint. The hospitals are always willing to pay the staffing agencies more.
And it's tough.
It's tough.
Because even
that's
when
tough to hear as even, a nurse,
because I was
right?
gonna say, even when I said that, I'm like, I'm sure our listeners are thinking, well, why don't they just pay the regular nurses mm-hmm. that amount of money?
Well, not even just the regular nurses, the travel nurses. Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, if you heard about a strike mm-hmm. out in Minnesota and you reached out to them yourself, mm-hmm. as opposed to having a representation such as an agency or mm-hmm. a recruiter or something, they just might slight you on your pay.
So fun fact, mm-hmm. before I looked into an agency, this is business mind, I was like, why do I need to go to an agency? I can just market myself to mm-hmm. these hospitals. The issue with that is that our agencies that represent us, they do more than just pay us and yeah. negotiate on our behalf. They are really covering a lot of insurance
expenses.
Issues and liabilities mm-hmm. and risk associated with just contracting yourself to
absolutely.
A hospital. And I looked into it and I read like legal documents because I'm crazy. And literally the risk both yourself as a nurse and the hospital would take if you did business with them one-on-one is it wouldn't even be worth hiring.
That is literally 100% true. So when I even talk to travel nurses and or nurses, RNs, I'm like, hey, I'm not just trying to upsell you from a standpoint of working with my company because it's my company. I'm like, hey, like, you don't understand. They're going to end up playing you on your pay rate. Mm-hmm. And us, I would much rather you go back and forth and negotiate a pay rate with my company as opposed to trying and attempting to negotiate a pay rate with them directly during a strike and or during a travel assignment that needs to be filled, because they're going to get off the phone with you and get on the phone with another nurse.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this works.
Nice.
And that's really good you educated yourself on that, because that is something that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as pay, mm-hmm. we negotiate per contract.
Okay.
So that's what the staffing agencies do. No one contract is the same. It would be beautiful if it was. We work with several healthcare facilities, large and small, and no, I have yet to see a contract that's the same.
Mm-hmm.
If I go from one facility to the next, it'd be beautiful if they were like, hey, we can send you over the paperwork and I could copy and paste everything that I needed to from the last contract and put it over there. It just does not work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are, especially on travel assignments, we're paying you per week,
mm-hmm.
per month.
The weekly pay is what I love. And I'll tell you, there are some agencies that will pay you every day.
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, you...
We have same day pay.
Yes.
Yeah, we have same day pay. Well, it's actually for our CNAs and LVNs and the people working PRN work.
Okay.
So we're currently contracted with another company, which has it's a technology company. They're pretty amazing, but they do same day pay.
I love it.
Yeah. So if you're doing a PRN assignment, which is a spur of the moment assignment, most times, most cases, if not, it's just temporary work,
mm-hmm.
you're getting paid same day.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, same day pay was really, really nice. You just submitted your time card by 5 p.m. that evening. Mm-hmm. If it was a shift, then I think it was like by 9 p.m. that evening, and the next day it was in your bank account.
Yeah.
So I know people want to know numbers.
Yeah.
Do you have any rates that you are running right now that you can share, or maybe like a starting pay?
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe they just need to call you and sign up.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get that like petty. But what I will say is I'll break down the pay first, especially for like travel nursing. So you get paid per hour,
mm-hmm.
and this is your tax rated pay.
Okay.
So this is what's getting reported to the IRS, right? This is you paying who your people, so you're not going to jail, all right? So
right. Because you have to.
Yeah, you have to do that.
So remember I told y'all my recruiter that I worked with at the time was not a good company,
mm.
And I got lowballed.
Okay.
And so when I got lowballed, I'm not going to even tell y'all how low it was because it's still a very embarrassing story, but he had explained it to me similar to how Angelica's going to explain it to you guys, but he was like, there's a taxable rate and there's a non-taxable
mm-hmm.
rate. And your taxable rate, it can't be super low because that is the rate that gets reported to the IRS.
Absolutely.
Your take-home rate is going to be the sum of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So your taxable rate, let's say your taxable rate, I'm just throwing out a number, is $30. But let's say your non-tax rate is $20. Your take-home is going to be the sum of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, taxes is going to be taken out on that $30 rate. But no taxes will be taken out on that $20 rate.
Yeah. So, you know, let me tell you something. Non-taxable money, I don't care where you work, it sounds good to me. Sign me up, okay? So, like we discussed, you have your per hour rate. That's getting reported to the IRS. And then you have a per week rate, right, with our company. So, you're getting paid for your meals and your incidentals.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is like gas, mileage, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like for you while you're out of town on assignment for us, and your meals. So, you can stay healthy. Healthy and, you know, be nutritious while working as a nurse. Then you have your per month, which is your lodge and your travel reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
So your lodging is, we're putting you up. Mm-hmm. Like, we're making sure that you have good housing. You know, I don't want to take you out of your nice, lavish apartment here in Dallas, Texas, and then send you to California and have you, like, living terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not doing that to you, mm-hmm. you know? And, you're going to get your per month pay, and that's worked out between you and your recruiter as well. And then that travel reimbursement, you know, I'm not going to let you get on a plane.
Okay.
You get on a plane and then I'm like, oh, you better take that $500 out your per rate, your per weekly. No, I wouldn't do that. You know, like, we're actually like reimbursing you there. But once again, that per week and that per month is non-taxable.
And I would even encourage nurses to be meticulous if you are thinking about travel nursing. Write down what you are expending your money on, right? Because agencies will reimburse you for things.
Yeah.
And so even if the lodging doesn't work out, maybe you know a friend that's there.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to pocket that lodging, you know.
We still have to pay it to you.
Yeah.
So whether or not you go and find an apartment or an Airbnb, or we find
somebody,
or you sleep on someone's couch, honey, or you room and board with the cutest little thing you've met on a plane, you will still pocket that money. That is yours.
So a lot of travel nurses will travel in pairs because you can save a lot of money that way.
That's a good tip. Absolutely.
Definitely.
So just throw some numbers out there. If you guys visit the staffing agency page, which is on Instagram at ams.agency, we always are very transparent about our numbers. So we actually post the facility, the location, the position, the start date, the length, shift, and your hourly pay. Mm-hmm. Most agencies won't do that with you.
I agree.
They will not do that with you. They want you to know how much is on the table mm-hmm. for you to make hourly and or weekly. But we even break ours down from hourly pay down to weekly pay and your extra incentives. So you're seeing full on, you know, what you can experience. But right here in front of us, we have a example of hourly rate at $47 and your car allowance of $325. Your weekly pay comes out to $1,691 mm-hmm. and your extra incentive is a completion bonus, because we have nurses that get out on an assignment mm-hmm. and it may be a 13-week assignment and they come home in 9 weeks.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's always a sore spot for us, but hey, it happens. We have to rip the Band-Aid off. But if you complete that, which we would hope you would, you walk home with an extra $1,000. And I've seen people get early start pay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've paid a nurse early start pay and I've paid a nurse a bonus pay. Mm-hmm. So you're walking in making some money, mm-hmm. you're making all your assignment mm-hmm. money, and then you're walking out making money too. It's nice. It's just money coming from every which way. It's interesting. So,
and it's so good too. We might have to do, or you know what? Never mind. I think I had an idea. But what I really would encourage you guys to do, if you're interested in travel nursing and you go on an assignment, get in good with the people that you're working with, because chances are they have not filled that position at the end of your 13 weeks.
Yeah.
And this has worked so well for me. So you go on assignment and you think, oh, it's just 13 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. And then you like it, right? And you're like, man, I really like making $1,700 a week. But it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
If you have a good rapport on that unit and you go to the manager and you're like, I really love this unit, can my company extend with you guys? If they haven't found anyone to fill your position yet, which more than likely they're just really busy, they're happy that you're in that space and they haven't been looking, they're going to be like, yeah, because it's 10 times easier to shoot an email to the agency and say, hey, let's extend for 4, 6, 8 more weeks than it is to hire someone, have them go through the onboarding and training and et cetera, et cetera. So that's also another way that you guys can extend your coins.
Yeah, we have bonus sign-ons too. That's like popular with us. It's like after you've been here, like you said, a 13-week assignment, if you call us and say, hey, I think that this position is still open or still not filled, we're on the phone mm-hmm. the next day. We're getting re-signed. Or whatever it is, or whatever position you want to reassign to, because I've even had a nurse working in one particular area of the hospital and learn about a position being open.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they want to stay with that facility, but mm-hmm. they want to move units.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we work that out too.
Nice.
We work that out too. We just want you happy.
So we I feel like we can talk about travel nursing all day, right. But I want you guys to visit the AMSA website. So it's at AMSA.agency mm-hmm. on Instagram. I'll also provide in the notes below all of the information for Miss Angelica Whaley and her company. She's a serial entrepreneur, so you guys will definitely enjoy just looking her up and the things that you guys find. I would like to talk more about just what the qualities of a good travel nurse should be, but I want you guys to check out this article. Exo Nicole was so nice to feature myself and three other lovely travel nurses and get some advice from us as to what travel nurses or nurses who are interested in traveling should expect. So I will link that article as well. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really good informative article, and you can always reach out to us for any information. Last but not least, tell us a little bit about your referral program. So,
oh my God, Kalia, it is the newest, hottest thing, right? So, it's so crazy because I feel like a car salesman when I'm like talking about it, because I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my God, make fast money today. Like, that's like how I feel. It's like such an adrenaline rush. Basically, the company from 2013 up until 2017, midway, kind of moving into 2018, we were using the same hiring methods and our same platforms, softwares, and databases to get actual nurses in our database, right? We saw that no longer feasible.
Okay.
That's probably the good word for it. A lot of money was going down the drain. That happens in business. You're using something one way, and then over the years it changes, you know? So we were using different platforms, very familiar ones that we all know, that you submit your resume to. You see a company, kind of like how I met you, and search engines and things of that sort. And I just started to want to go in more organic route. So organic, in my opinion, nothing will ever beat the word of mouth. Point blank, period. In this type of industry or any industry that has everything to do with customer service, experience, what you felt when you work with that company, word of mouth will always be key, and it will always outlast any other method of, you know, finding that help in their work you need. So we created the referral program basically to put extra money in the healthcare industry's pockets, right? And I say healthcare industry in such a wide range because it's not just for nurses. So I have doctors who have participated in this in this referral program because they're working hand in hand with nurses, and a nurse might chit chat with them and say, hey, I want to get into travel nursing, and they're like, oh, you should look up this company. Here they are. Here's the thing about our referral program. There is no, hey, Kalia, can you get that nurse's, can you get their email address for me? Hey, can you get their resume? Hey, can you find out how much experience they have? Where have they worked at in the past? I'm not asking you to do any of that. The only thing you have to do is tell a nurse about our company and send them our way. And when that nurse gets placed on an assignment, you can earn up to $200 per nurse. So if you're sending me five nurses, that's pretty lucrative money on the side that you've done nothing but word of mouth. You get what I'm saying? So the referral program is just that good. Any and everybody you know who is a nurse, a CNA, an RN, an LVN, it ranges. A healthcare professional, if you know them and they're trying to get placed on an assignment somewhere, it doesn't just have to be travel nursing, it can be anything, you send them our way, and you could potentially earn up to $200 per person that gets placed on an assignment. So we don't want you sending us someone. We don't want you sending us a medical professional that unfortunately they don't get credentialed, or they don't have the proper license to go on an assignment, or they just don't get on placement in general. And you're like, hey, where's my $200? I've referred that person to you. Yeah, it works simply when a person is placed on an assignment. And as you know, Kalia, the process is not that long, you know, depending on where it is, whether or not the nurse is licensed, but it's pretty fast turnover and processing rate.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So you guys have options, whether you're interested in going on a full travel assignment, whether you just want to pick up some per diem work, maybe you're just thinking about it and you just want to reach out, get more information, you know, put your name in a database and, you know, just be told about any upcoming information. Or if you know someone that's interested, it's definitely options for everyone. So this has been amazing. I feel like I, you know, it's tough when you give out gems because you're like, man, I wish something like this existed when I was interested in travel nursing. Like, unfortunately, I had to reach out to 72 different people and hope that five responded back and three actually gave me some information that I could use.
Wow.
I had to go on assignments where I was severely, severely lowballed. I had to go on assignments where, oh my God, one day I didn't get a check, but thank God I had like an amazing recruiter who was like, hey, you know, I want you to go to Walmart right now and I'm gonna MoneyGram you some money because I don't want my nurse out there without any money. So you get into some really crazy situations, and it's so important to have a staffing agency that has your back, that you trust. I mean,
reliable,
yeah, right?
Supportive.
Like, you should listen. And I'm not just saying this because I've worked with Angelica before. There are literally nurses that will call her and talk to her about just having a bad assignment, right? Like, just having the nurses treating them mean, not necessarily a bad assignment. And she will talk to them about it. And it's like,
I'm on the phone the next day with that facility.
Right.
Hey, get, you know, I understand that this nurse is, and I mean, obviously hurt feelings and being butthurt is not necessarily a reason to call the higher facility, ups of the hospital and the facility.
But she'll still listen.
But yeah, no, but yeah, backing a nurse into a corner because you don't like the fact that she's traveling into your facility and working. Oh, we don't play that at AMSA LLC, honey.
Right. No. And there is a culture where, you know, there are so many times where I was blessed traveling, but there were times where, you know, they'd give me a harder assignment because, you know, hey, you're the traveler and you're making way more money than us. So you should take 5 paraplegics. And, you know, I'd have to call my agency and say, hey, no, I can't take this. But just know that you guys have somebody in your corner. Whether you have questions, reach out to myself or directly to AMSA. They'll answer all of your questions. And let's just thank Angelica for joining us today. Did you have anything you wanted to add? Where can we follow you? What's your website? I don't know if you did all your plugs yet.
Yeah. So we'll plug the website and stuff below. But definitely my personal my personal Instagram is Angelica L. Whaley. You're going to get me over there. And it's okay to call me. I mean, well, call me. It's okay to talk to me about nursing over there as well. I don't mind. That happens a lot, actually. People get over to the personal page and they talk to me about the staffing agency. And I have no problem with that. We're 100% relatable. I don't even hire someone if they're not relatable and they don't have excellent communication and people skills. So.
Yes.
Yeah, you definitely contact us there. Contact us via email at Angelica's Medical Staffing, and that's over at gmail.com. And then our direct number, our direct line to your recruiter would be 214-814-9438. Let's get you in a database today.
Yes. Make sure you let them know Black Girl Blue Scrubs sent you.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
And that's our show for today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please continue to listen and share this podcast with your favorite nurse friends. You can follow us online at Black Girl Blue Scrubs on Instagram and email us at info@blackgirlbluescrubs.org to submit feedback or share your nursing story. You can also email us on topics you would like to recommend or guest speakers you want to hear from. Visit our website at www.blackgirlbluescrubs.org and subscribe to be the first to know about podcast episodes and meetups in a city near you. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Through the Nursing Lens.